This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Generations Riviera Maya Resort and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Thinking sideways.
I don't understand.
Does not compute.
You never know.
Insufficient data to formulate a reply.
What?
Stories of things we simply don't know the answer to.
Well, hi there. Welcome to another episode of Thinking Sideways. I'm Joe, joined as always by...
Devin.
And Steve.
Yeah. So, you guys ready to solve another mystery?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's roll up our sleeves and start solving. So, this week, we're going to talk about a person named Gene Spangler.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Gene Spangler.
Old Gene Spangler.
Gene Spangler, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, let's find out what her mystery was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she was a dancer and a model who had also done some bit parts in movies in the late 1940s,
mm-hmm.
and she lived in Los Angeles. She lived in a two-bedroom apartment with her mother, Florence, and her five-year-old daughter, Christine.
Didn't she also live with her brother-in-law and sister-in-law?
I've seen that little nugget out there, but apparently her brother was actually killed in the war, but they were still on good terms with her sister-in-law, Sophie.
Mm-hmm.
And Sophie Sophie wasn't living there, but she was staying there. She was from out of town on a visit.
I see, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, and so, yeah.
Sure.
So that would have been pretty crowded to have everybody living there, full time.
Yeah, you know.
But yeah, I think
it happened.
I think that's what it said, like, on the wiki page for this.
Probably,
it had that
yeah.
on there. I think that was inaccurate. A lot of inaccurate stuff on Wikipedia. Yeah.
Careful.
Well, yeah, we're not going to get a torrent of emails about that.
Okay, let's back to our story here. At the time that our story begins, October 1949, Gene Spangler was 26 years old.
Oh, a baby.
Yeah, I know. She had been in 8 different movies, all of them uncredited.
Mm.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, the shame. She'd been married briefly to a guy named Dexter Benner. They divorced in 1946. And they had a child between them, Christine, and there was a nasty court battle, and she eventually was awarded custody of the daughter, along with child support.
Well, didn't she have to, wasn't it initially they awarded custody to the husband?
Yeah.
But he was such a jerk and kept denying her visitation that eventually...
Well, so she said.
Yeah.
Well, the court eventually sided with her, and they changed their mind and gave custody to her.
Actually, the divorce is interesting. They were married for like 4 months initially, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they got married when she was 19, and they were married for 4 months before they separated and then saw each other on and off for 5 years before they finally divorced.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, guys.
Yeah,
really?
Good at commitment.
Come on.
I know. That's sad. Kids today.
Okay. Today.
Yeah, kids
today.
Yesterday. Okay, back to our mystery. On October 7th, 1949, Jean left her daughter with her sister-in-law, Sophie. Her mother was out of town visiting relatives in Kentucky. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So she said that she had to go see her ex about child support, which she apparently was late on.
Oh, I heard that she wanted to increase the
that too,
the amount. Yeah.
I've heard both of those things, mm-hmm. Yeah. She also said that after that, she was going to go work on a night shoot for a film. And, well, long story short, she never came back. She never returned home. And no, to this day, nobody knows what happened to her. Or probably somebody does, but they're not talking.
Right.
Typically, that's the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the next day, Sophie called the police. They took a report. They didn't do anything because they figured, you know, it's Hollywood. People are partying all night
long. She probably
just
went on a bender. And...
Yeah. So obviously, they're not going to waste their time.
And again, Sophie is the sister-in-law.
Okay.
Yeah. Just making sure.
Who was watching Christine, the daughter.
Right? Exactly. So the day after that, Sunday, October 9th, Jean's purse was found in Griffith Park by a park ranger. The straps on one side have been torn off, which suggests some sort of violence. And so this galvanized the police into action. The next day, they got together a bunch of cops, like 60 cops and 100-plus volunteers, mm-hmm. and started combing Griffith Park. And they found nothing. I think the search went on for 3 or 4 days.
Well, and Griffith Park is a... It was a big park. It was like, it's what,
it's
a 1,000 acres or something?
Oh, well, I think it's more than that.
It was just a huge area to have to search.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think they searched the entire park. This is at one specific...
Yeah, I'm sure they combed the area around.
Yeah, I'm sure they went a ways. But yeah, searching that entire park, oh my God, that'd be like searching Forest Park.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's... Yeah.
Huge. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really huge. Okay, back to the purse. It had no money in it except for a silver dollar, which was her lucky charm. Yeah.
Oops.
Fail. Yeah. But her sister-in-law said that she had no money when she left on Friday, so it doesn't look like robbery was the motive. Mm. And she, of course, you know, was when you're doing things like having bit parts and as an extra in a movie, you're not really making a lot of money.
Yeah,
so
and living with your mother.
Yeah. So there was ID and the usual stuff you'll find in a purse. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The big item of interest was a note which read, "Kirk, can't wait any longer. Going to see Dr. Scott. It will work best this way while Mother is away." And it ends with a comma as if she'd been interrupted while writing it. Although I've seen a photograph of the note, and I can't really tell. It looks to me like it could just as easily be a period.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that.
Yeah, so I don't really know.
Although you would think you would sign a letter.
Yeah, I was thinking there would at least be initials at the bottom of sign. There's nothing else.
Yeah.
So it does have a certain unfinished quality to it.
Mm-hmm.
On October 12th, this was the Tuesday following, the Wednesday following, the LAPD got a surprise phone call from none other than Kirk Douglas.
Hmm.
You know Kirk Douglas?
Nope.
You don't know Kirk Douglas?
I don't know. Why do I know Kirk Douglas?
Because he's the father of Michael Douglas.
Yeah. Spartacus, Paths to Glory, Paths of Glory.
You are so killing me. The generational gap really is making me feel old right now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wait, he was the one who was in Spartacus, not Michael Douglas was not the one, though.
No, not Michael Douglas.
It was Kirk Douglas.
Kirk Douglas.
Then I know who he is.
Yeah. Okay. All right, good.
It's also sometimes just fun to do that blank stare with you guys for a couple minutes.
Yeah,
so we both freak out?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Not nice.
It's fun.
Yeah.
No, it's fun.
Yeah, I could not have heard of Kirk. Yeah. So anyway, Kirk Douglas, as you all know, was a famous movie star. So he phones him up just out of the blue and tells him that he totally was not the Kirk that the note was addressed to.
So he's just like, "Hey, LAPD, what's up? Yeah, that Kirk?
Yeah,
that note?
That's not me.
Yeah,
it's not me.
Not me.
Yeah.
Huh.
So
okay, that's suspicious, maybe.
Yeah, Gene Spangler had a bit part in a movie recently that Douglas has starred in called Young Man with a Horn, also starring Laura McCall and Doris Day.
Mm.
And apparently Douglas said that he had heard about it. Somebody that he knew that he was acquainted with had read about this, recognized the name, checked, she was in the movie, and mentioned it to him.
Some studio exec otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those guys are probably always, you know, putting out little fires and stuff like that, you know. So they probably said, hey, you know, talk to your lawyer, then call the cops and get out ahead of this story. So I'm sure that's
This is before, like, Us Weekly, right? That would have been, like, Kirk Douglas or...
Well, there's always been those Hollywood dirt rags, though, where they're always trying to find stuff about people. So I can imagine that they, as Joe put it, they're putting out fires way ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Before those guys can even get to it.
Yeah.
Although I guess it seems like the sort of thing that, like, you would figure out a way, like your publicity manager would probably figure out a way to, like, on the lowdown, let the LAPD know, hey, we're just trying to get out ahead of this. I want you to know it's not him. Instead of, like, personally phoning the LAPD and being like, hey, guys, this is totally unsolicited, but it's not me.
Well, it's really interesting, too. So he phones, like, the senior investigator, and I'm sure he got some, you know, some secretary or you know, somebody like that. Could I tell him who's calling? Kirk Douglas. click.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
How do you get through? Prankster.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, is your refrigerator running? he told the police that he remembered talking to her on the set a little bit, but other than that, he didn't know her personally at all. When Gene's mother got back from Kentucky, she told police that Gene had actually dated a guy named Kirk and had gone out with him at least twice, but that she didn't know his last name and had never met him and knew nothing about him. So that was it. So it could have been another Kirk.
That's right. Because this guy, he stayed in the car and she went out and met him, so the mother never could get a good look at him.
Well, on the other hand, if I were famous actor Kirk Douglas, I don't know that I would be like...
You probably want to keep it on the down
low. Yeah, I wouldn't be like flaunting it around. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what his like marital girlfriend status was at the time, but...
I believe he didn't have one.
I don't know. I haven't done any research on him, actually. I mean, I did a little bit. I covered some unsavory things.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get into that later. But
I wasn't really going to bring that up very much because
we'll deal with it when the time comes. But
so, and this episode is not about Kirk Douglas anyway. Except his behavior was mighty suspicious. Gina, as far as dating, apparently she was dating somebody new at least a couple of weeks before her disappearance. But it turned out that the cops tracked him down. It turns out he was a writer named Peter Brooks, so nobody named Kirk. All right, that's the high level part of it. Now we're going to go back and get into a little bit more detail without being tedious about it or nothing, of course.
Oh, right.
So back to the start.
Tedious.
I know. So I'm going to give you a little brief timeline here. October 7th, 5 o'clock to 5:30, and I've seen both of them, depending on where you read about this. She leaves the apartment. She's going to go see her ex and then going to go to a movie shoot. 6 o'clock, she's seen at the farmer's market at 3rd and Fairfax, which is about 800 to 1,000 feet north of her apartment. So pretty close by.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a clerk there who saw her hanging around, said she was there for around 90 minutes, just browsing and sort of hanging out. And the clerk said that he got the impression that she was waiting for somebody.
Mm.
Didn't talk to her, but just got that impression.
How do you get that? Okay, well, I don't understand that. If it's a farmer's market, and I've been to farmer's markets, what do people do? They wander from booth to booth, and they check out the wares and the goods.
Mm-hmm.
So what I don't get is, how does that infer that I'm waiting for someone?
I mean, she was probably like looking at her watch or checking the door regularly or something like that. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think that what we classify as a farmer's market isn't whether it is classified as a farmer's market in the mid-40s, late 40s.
Early 40s.
I don't think that that's the same thing. I don't think it's the same sort of like street fair situation.
I'm not really sure.
I could be wrong, but you know, in LA they have that famous, it's not like a farmer's market, but it's kind of it's a mall that's attached to what used to be a farmer's market, and it's booths and stuff like that, but it's like lots of storefronts together.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what it's called right now, I'll be honest.
It's called the farmer's market. actually, no, this place is still in the same spot. It's still called the farmer's market. I don't know if it looks the same. It looks kind of mallish, but it looks like some of the buildings are kind of old. There's a lot of new construction around it, but it looks like at least a few of the buildings are old wooden buildings.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're talking about the same kind of place. Maybe it is the farmer's market. Maybe it's not. But it's, you know, it's like booths. It's kind of more like a boardwalk, I think, is maybe the way that I would describe it. Lots of, like, storefronts, not like somebody's just, like, brought their little cart of food and, like, set it up under a tent, which is kind of what I think of with, like, a modern-day farmer's market.
That is kind of what I'm thinking of.
You can kind of say, like, it's all surrounded, you know, it surrounds a square kind of area. It's easy to just kind of be loitering and wandering, and especially if you're doing it for 90 minutes and you really don't ever buy anything and you kind of
just
are looking like
forth.
Disinterestedly in things, I think it's easier to like you I think it's possible to say I'm sorry all that to say I think it's very possible to say it's it, it'd be pretty easy to say that person was just waiting for somebody.
Yeah,
okay. So, well, no, I was just curious.
Long explanation, sorry.
Yeah. All right, back to our timeline. 7 o'clock, she calls home to check on her daughter and says that she'll be home later. Talk to Sophie, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, so obviously from a payphone in the farmer's market because she didn't leave there till about 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, by the time she left, of course, it would be dark. I checked. Sunset on that day was 6:30 p.m.
So 6:28, please.
6:28, you're right. Let's be specific.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And not that it matters all that much, but, you know, it's just easier to murder people when it's dark out. Yeah. Okay, her next sighting was 6 hours later, October 8th, Saturday morning, 1:30 a.m. She was seen at a table in a restaurant called the Cheese Box at Sunset and Laurel Canyon, sitting with the dark, like a tall, neat man, as he was described, with dark hair, 30 to 35 years old. And by the way, the location of the Cheese Box is about 2 miles north of her apartment.
So not too far away from home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, she might have caught a ride, caught a bus, but she could have easily walked it in that time, although I'm doubting she did. She was still at the Cheese Box, apparently at 2:30 a.m. A different eyewitness saw her there, but she was sitting at a different table and arguing with a couple of guys. And, of course, some of these sightings, let's face it, might not have been her. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are
there's a grain of salt here.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm pretty convinced the guy at the farmer's market, since she lives so close by, probably knew her or was mm-hmm. familiar
or
with
her. Or seen her enough.
So that was probably an accurate one. So anyway, early that morning, it's just kind of vague. A gas station attendant reported that a convertible with a man and a woman pulled in for gas. And, of course, at this time, her disappearance had not yet hit the papers.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to, but apparently she reportedly looked like Jean, and the guy in the car said that they were going to go to Fresno. And yet, as they drove away, the woman yelled, "Have the police follow this car!" So the attendant called the cops, but the cops were not able to find the car. It probably was a joke, you know?
I was going to say.
Is your refrigerator running?
I mean, you know, it's like early morning. She's probably drunk. And just, like, think this would be hilarious.
Uh-huh,
Just yell that.
Yeah.
Because really, like, who's going to, how are they going to?
Yeah. Well, I think that probably that stuck in his mind a little bit. And finally, when he picked up the papers and saw her picture and heard about the disappearance.
I'm sure.
He sort of, his memory probably played a little trick on him there. But then at the same time, maybe it was her. I'm doubting it. So that same Saturday, somewhere between 6 p.m. and 10 p.m., her purse is dropped at the Ferndale entrance to Griffith Park, which is 3.5 miles northeast of the Cheese Box. And the timeline for that particular one was about the guy who found it, I think his name was Henry Angle, he was a park ranger, and he didn't find it until Sunday, the day after. And so I'm not sure why he's so sure it was between 6 and 10. I mean, maybe he was by there at 6 p.m. on Saturday and didn't see it there. And then maybe perhaps they closed the park at 10 o'clock and shut the gates. I don't know. That's the only way I can think of that he knew that
but
it had
he
to be would between have, 6
but if
and
they
10.
Closed the gates, it would have been there and they would have seen it when they closed the gates.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think it was...
No.
No, I don't think it was right by the gates. It was about 10 feet inside the entrance right here, so...
It just seems like that... I mean, you do a patrol. Like, if you close the gates to a park, you close the gates.
But you know, gates to a park, I doubt mean that the thing has got a cyclone fence around it, and it's a tall chain-link fence. It's probably just bars across the road, but any goofball can walk by or stop and throw something into the bushes in
the
park.
Totally. So yeah, I think that this is kind of shaky.
Okay.
And also I went and looked at the park entrance on Google Street View. You know me, I always have to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every story.
I didn't see any evidence of massive chain link fences or anything like
no,
that.
No, that's not what they do at parks.
No.
Well, I mean, a park that big, I mean, trying to close a park like that off, I mean, forget it. How do you do that?
That's near impossible.
You can close parks like that. You know, they do this with Washington Park or Forest Park in Portland.
Yeah.
You close the roads
so
that car traffic can't get through. But pedestrian traffic, there's no
people
way to
can still
them
sneak
out.
In.
So they just don't even try anymore.
Yeah. No, it's not worth it. Okay, next in our timeline, October 9th, 9 a.m., a Fresno man saw her in a bar in Fresno with a man. And so apparently, once again, so this is October 9th. She still has not hit the papers. And apparently, she was saying it's 9 a.m. She's sitting in a bar with a guy and said something on the order of, like, you know, I just had the worst night of my life. Or I don't know if she said that to this guy or if he overheard her saying it. I think he overheard her. And so I don't really. I don't really believe this one either. Again, this guy was hanging out in the bar. Probably had a few himself.
He's at a bar at 9 a.m.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, let's be honest.
Really, let's seriously. That might be one reason the police discounted this. They didn't take it too seriously. Okay, so anyway, that same day, the purse is found. And, of course, that gets the police all hot and bothered, and they start the search the next day, Monday, October 10th. That same day, October 10th, Davy Ogle, who was a guy that Gene reportedly dated for a while, or hung out with at least, he disappeared too. He was an associate of an L.A. gangster named Mickey Cohen. Yeah, and another one of the gang, Frank Nicoli, had vanished about a month before. But these guys actually had reasons to vanish. They were under indictment.
I'm trying to remember what they were indicted for.
Yeah, conspiracy was the official charge. But
is that what it was?
I don't know, conspiracy to what? You can conspire about all sorts of things.
Hard to tell. I remember seeing that and looking at it, but I just can't. For the life of me, remember what it was.
Anyway, October 11th, Gene was cited by three waitresses at a restaurant in Monterey. You guys know where Monterey is, right?
California?
Yeah, somewhere in California.
Sorry. I just wanted to make sure we were still talking about California.
Yeah, still in California. Yeah. But that's a ways up the coast from L.A. That's almost to San Francisco.
Well, I mean, it's not as though you can't, drive that far. I mean,
very easily.
Technically drive from Portland to L.A. in one day.
I wouldn't want to try.
You got to remember the speed of travel of cars and the roads at that time.
A couple days, L.A. to the Bay Area.
I'm not disagreeing.
What I'm saying is that...
Just because we can go to Portland, L.A. in a day now doesn't mean that was the case before.
Sure, to say, it seems impossible that she could have made it to Fresno or Monterey.
A plausible drive in a day and a half.
Even without Interstate 5.
Yeah.
It could be done. So her next sighting, October 12th, somebody reported that he saw her at a bus depot in Stockton.
I actually don't know where Stockton is.
It's in California.
So. Yeah. Thanks.
Central California, maybe 100 miles east of San Francisco.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Oh, of course, on that same day, the famous movie guy, Kirk Douglas, called the police up and swore it totally wasn't him in that note. Next day, October 13th, Gene is sighted in North Hollywood by Shirley Ann Morse, who was a 13-year-old girl who knew Gene. Apparently, they were friends. And so this might be a more reliable sighting, although what she was doing hanging out in North Hollywood, I don't know. But apparently Shirley saw her in a car with an older-looking guy, and she looked nervous and frightened.
I bet Shirley was an actress, don't you think? She was also a bit actress.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think? I mean...
I thought she was a schoolgirl, but hey, maybe. Maybe that's how they knew each other from the movies or something.
She had done some bit parts in movies that Gene had also been bit part.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Gene played her mom once.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I don't know. But that might be a more reliable sighting. I don't know.
Yeah.
And after that, no major sightings reported. On October 18th, the police called off the investigation. Yeah, they said they believed that she had just taken off and was
10 days later, right? Is that, let's be...
Yeah, well, actually, they didn't really start their investigation until the 9th, so nine days later. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, if I ever disappear, I want you to make sure the police look for me for longer than 9 days.
We'll make sure they go at least 10.
Yeah, thank you. That seems reasonable, at least 10.
10 is an acceptable number.
I agree,
I can just see it now. We're going to be... We will not let you quit. We will not let you abandon her until tomorrow. As time went by, they continued to receive reports of sightings from all over the sightings of Gene from all over the country.
As tends to happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She was also an attractive but fairly nondescript white female.
Yeah, I would say that it'd be very easy to mistake her for a lot of other people.
I was looking at the pictures of her from the number of movies that she was in, and she was probably great as an extra because she didn't have a defining look.
Yep.
Yeah, she's not going to steal the scene from the main star.
No, you change your hair, she looks completely different. You change your makeup, she looked completely different. I was looking at, somebody had a collage of her photos.
Uh-huh.
And she didn't look the same in any of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't put a lot of stock in any of these. She was seen as far away as Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1950, she was supposedly seen with Davy Ogle and Frank Nicoli in El Paso, Texas.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I actually really like that one.
Yeah.
But I have holes with it. But I'm sure we'll talk
about it. Yeah. I take that one with a grain of salt. But we'll cover that, why I take that with a grain of salt, later on when we talk about the theories.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, so what was she up to that night before we get into the theories? The police, as you know, she was going to go see the ex and then go make a movie.
Mm-hmm.
The police checked with the ex, and he said he hadn't seen her in weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And his new wife backed up his alibi. They also checked her story that she was going to be filming on a movie set that night. They checked, apparently, with all the movie companies around town, the Screen Extras Guild, etc. And apparently, no, she wasn't scheduled to work on any movies that night.
Mm-hmm. And they weren't actually doing any movies that night.
Mm-hmm. Apparently not, yeah. And this was back in the day, too. They didn't do as much location filming
mm-hmm.
back in the old days, especially, I think, probably at night. So they did a lot more studio stuff. That's what the back lot is for. One other thing that they managed to unearth is they talked to a girlfriend of hers who said that Jean had told her that she was pregnant, 3 months pregnant.
Mm.
And that led to speculation that when she left on Friday, she was actually going to go out and get an abortion.
Mm.
Which is why she told all these lies about seeing the ex and making a movie.
Which is pretty standard in that time frame because it was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Though I don't know why you would loiter around a farmer's market for 90 minutes waiting for somebody.
Yeah.
Prior, but sure.
Yeah,
exactly. That's not normally where you meet the doctor.
Not usually. You know.
Yeah. Well, you just go to the kindly farmer abortionist guy over there.
Ah. Mm.
So let's talk about some theories. A big time theory is, remember the note said, I'm going to see Dr. Scott.
Yeah.
And so the question on everybody's mind is, well, was Dr. Scott an abortionist? And did she die in a botched abortion? And to me, I don't really buy this because her movements that night suggest that she wasn't going out. I mean, you don't hang out in the farmer's market, like you say, for 90 minutes. And then there was a six-hour gap between the farmer's market and the cheese box at 1:30 that morning.
Mm-hmm. And the cheese box is pretty much a confirmed sighting. Is that true?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. But
okay.
I'm not 100% convinced. But
I was going to say, I question it because it's kind of like the guy at 9 a.m. in the bar.
Mm.
It's a bunch of people in a bar.
Sure,
yeah.
There's been times when I was out having a couple of drinks and I wasn't sure if I saw Joe.
But wasn't it the waiter that...
It was the 1:30 a.m. sighting was actually the restaurant manager, I believe.
So I would trust that.
So
yeah.
Not a patron who's had a couple.
Yeah, somebody who's sober. So that's I'd put some weight on that, mm-hmm. I guess. But still, assuming that was her, then there was plenty of time to perform an abortion, but she was seen alive and well at 1:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I don't get is why would you dump the purse in the park rather than throwing it in a dumpster?
Especially with like a note like that.
With an incriminating note in it with your name on it?
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely have gone through the purse to make sure my phone number, my name, nothing that points to me was in there. I mean, mm-hmm. wouldn't you?
Well, I think we've talked about this before. Logically, from our perspective, that makes sense. But if you are frantic to cover up something, when people do frantic things, they don't think them through and they just stash something chuck it.
Okay, but I guess in defense of Joe's thing and not to, you know, like really go too deep into
it. Yeah, we don't need to go too far.
We don't, but you know, at this point in time, abortions were not only legal but often botched. And if you are performing illegal abortions, it's likely that you've botched a couple.
Unfortunately.
So you probably kind of know what to do.
Yeah.
You're not going to have that like major freak out. This is,
yeah.
Which is all I will say about it, and I think we should move on to the next
theory. Yes, mm-hmm. I agree.
Just one other thing, though, he did. He did an excellent job of disposing of her body, which is a lot tougher than getting rid of a purse.
Yeah, exactly.
He did a bang-up job of doing that.
Yeah.
And then he screws up all over the place on the purse.
That seems unlikely.
Yeah. Okay, next theory, her ex, Dexter Benner. Apparently there were some rumors of abuse during the relationship,
mm-hmm.
and they'd had that nasty custody fight over the daughter, and he obviously wanted the daughter back.
Mm-hmm.
So murdering Jean would be just the thing to do if you want to get your daughter back.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, as we said, he had an alibi, although it's not something I would consider rock solid because, you know, your wife might lie to cover for you.
Well, and here's the thing. He and his new wife had been married exactly almost a month, give or take a little bit. So, of course, she's going to cover for him. As soon as I read the wife said she was with him all night long, I'm like, of course that's what you would say. I'm not saying that she's lying,
mm-hmm.
but that is just one of those things that just automatically I have to question.
Mm-hmm.
Because so often people do that
mm-hmm.
and get proved that they're lying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, yeah, you got to take that with a grain of salt. But, again, she lied about going to a movie set. So after
and that's why I'm not harping on it, yeah, because Jean's done some things that are throwing red flags everywhere.
Yeah. My personal theory as to why she lied, why she lied about what she was going to go do, is that her mother was out of town, sister-in-law is visiting, and she's going to dump her kid on the sister-in-law while she
goes out.
She
needs a night off.
Yeah.
She's a young, stressed-out mother.
She probably felt a little embarrassed because she probably felt like, gee, you know, she's my guest. She's here in town, mm-hmm. you know, and I should really be hanging out with her, and instead I want to go out and party or I want to go out on a date. So she lied. She said, I've got to go see my ex, and then I've got to go work on a movie.
Let's be honest. We've all got family members who were super nice people that suck to hang around.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
You're boring. Oh, why do I have to listen to you? All you talk about is this one thing.
All you talk about
fun.
Is my dead brother, your dead husband, and how much you miss him. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm sure that there's a lot of explanations.
There's myriad reasons why she might want to ditch her.
Yeah, and so, but I think it was she just wanted to go out and party or do something, I don't know what. And, anyway, so the ex, I don't think she was going to see the ex, and I tend to believe his story. They certainly never found any evidence to support any of that stuff. Next theory, blackmail. So was she pregnant with Kirk's love child?
Kirk Douglas?
Or Kirk somebody. The girlfriend who told the police that Jean was pregnant also said that Jean told her that she was going to be coming into a lot of money soon. Didn't say how or why, but that would suggest that she was expecting a big blackmail payoff, huh?
I never saw that.
Yeah. If she had been blackmailing somebody, that'd be a good motive to kill her.
Yeah.
Of course, maybe she wasn't blackmailing. Maybe Kirk, to say, or whoever, had gotten her pregnant. He had a lot of money and he basically paid her off, basically said, look, if you have an abortion or whatever, I'll pay you $25,000 to just
go away.
Just go away, you know? And so maybe that's what it was. There was no blackmail involved at all.
That's possible.
The problem is still, you know.
I'm just sitting here mulling it over. And I guess it is possible. I've seen probably too many Hollywood drama things, whether they're real or made up by Hollywood, where that stuff happens. So I can see some credence in it. Mm-hmm. I don't really add a lot of sock to it, but I can see some credence in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, you know, it makes a lot more sense just to pay somebody off rather than murder them. You know, because
that's usually the easier route.
Yeah. Of course, one problem with this is there's still the whole question of the purse. Well, the purse with the incriminating note with Kirk's name on it. Of course, it maybe wasn't a guy named Kirk. I mean, who knows? But there was the incriminating purse note. Why throw it in the park? Why not throw it in the garbage can? Why tear the handles off of it? Which would indicate, set up a lot of red flags, and which would indicate violence to the police. So that just doesn't make any sense. Okay, next theory. The Black Dahlia killer did her in.
Oh.
Yeah. So that happened like about 3 years before.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you guys are familiar with that whole thing. This young brunette actress, aspiring actress, like Jean Spangler, mm-hmm. was found murdered in a vacant lot, and her body had been basically cut in two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was hideous. Like, you know. And so they thought at first when she disappeared, they thought the Black Dahlia killer was still out there. And the police actually believed this. So the...
back up. So,
yeah,
because my timeline, I'm trying to remember. The Black Dahlia murders happened before Jean disappeared.
Yeah,
about three years before. Way around.
Yeah.
Okay, somehow in my head, I'd mixed it up, so I was just double checking.
Oh, no,
But the police were really thinking this, but as time went by and a hideously mutilated body didn't turn up, the theory was pretty much put out to pasture.
I don't know. I guess maybe, you know, you've 3 years to, like, perfect your craft or whatever, right? I guess I can kind of see, like, maybe the person who killed the Black Dahlia is actually, like, has improved and got better at hiding a body. But
that could be.
Also, probably not.
The next theory is it was collateral damage in a mob hit because, as we know, she was hanging out with this mobster guy.
Yeah.
And so if she just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time and there was a gangland killing and she might have been, or they've been caught in a crossfire, or maybe they just thought, well, she's a witness, kill her.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a possibility. I'm not putting a lot of stock in that one. There's no evidence that she was actually still hanging out with that guy. because, again, she had a new boyfriend. And so I don't know that she was seeing that. What's his name? Davey Ogle?
Ogle.
Mm-hmm. I don't really put a lot of stock in this one. The next one is those two guys at the Cheese Box restaurant that she was arguing with. I'm guessing maybe she won the argument and that really ticked them off.
Yeah. It's possible.
You made that up.
Yeah, I kind of did, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you won the argument, but we get the last word. Bang. Mm. Yeah. Next theory, Lieutenant Scott. So the police turned up another interesting thing from her past. About 4 years before, while her husband was off at the war in the Pacific, Jean had an affair with a guy named, he was like an Air Corps lieutenant. His last name was Scott. I guess she called her Scotty. And apparently he was abusive. She wanted to leave him. He threatened to kill her if she did. She eventually managed to break it off. And last time she saw him was in 1945, four mm-hmm. years before. Mm-hmm. There's no evidence that he became a doctor. Remember the note said, going to see Dr. Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because the cops, like, poured through and interrogated every doctor whose name... last name was Scott.
Mm-hmm. I thought they poured over and interrogated every doctor, not just Scott's.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they couldn't just hit every doctor. Mm. So they were after all the ones that had last name of Scott. But then the thing is that there's guys who do things on the sly that go mm-hmm. by a code name.
Yeah.
So Dr. Scotty could mean mm-hmm. anything. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's it could have been an abortionist. It could have been a dentist. I mean, it could have been, who knows?
Yeah, veterinarian.
Yeah, it could have been a vet, yeah. Also, besides the fact that he wasn't a doctor, why would she go to see the guy if she was afraid of him?
Yeah, because he was a jerk, and she had stopped hanging out with him because, as you said, he was abusive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so much for Lieutenant Scott. Next theory, she ran away from home. And this, remember, Davey Ogle disappeared at the same time she did, which led people to speculate that perhaps they had left town together to start a new life.
Mm.
Yeah, I know.
I don't like it.
No, I don't either. She was dating a new guy, for one thing, and apparently she was happy about that, according to a witness. And I don't think she would have abandoned her daughter.
Yeah, I mean, she called from the farmer's market.
Yeah, I mean, she, exactly. She obviously cared about her daughter. She obviously, if you read anything about her, had a lot of shortcomings. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know.
The thing about Ogle is there's that one report that says that, I think it was March of 1950 is when they say that she was, quote unquote, spotted somewhere in Texas.
El Paso.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the funny thing is, unless she did have the pregnancy terminated, she'd have been about 6 or 7 months pregnant at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think that whoever had seen her and said, oh, yeah, that's Jean, and wow, she's super pregnant.
Unless
it was just, oh, yeah, there's Jean. Yeah, she looked like she always did, you know, slim dancer's body, beautiful as can be.
Unless mm-hmm. she wasn't pregnant and that girlfriend was lying. I mean, it's totally possible. Like,
that's a very valid point.
Or that she lied to the girlfriend.
She lied to the girlfriend, yeah, that's entirely possible. She was lying to Kirk, too.
Yeah.
To blackmail him.
Maybe.
Yeah. She's just eating a lot of bonbons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could have been.
Three months. I mean, you can't really tell at 3 months.
No, three months.
Well, that's why I know at 3 months, but at 6 and 7, you can't hide that.
Yeah, but I guess. I just generally assume she wasn't actually pregnant, but hey, that's me.
Yeah. It's entirely possible that she wasn't pregnant. Her mother, after her mother got back and everything, her mother also said that she would never abandon her family.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you got to believe her mother. Her mother obviously didn't know her that well because she was up to a lot of stuff
mm-hmm.
that her mother wasn't, like, in on. But
well, she's a 26-year-old.
Yeah.
Of course you're going to do things that you don't tell your parents about.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's just kind of this standard operating procedure.
I don't think that's just a 20s thing. I think your whole life you kind of just do things and, like, generally your parents don't necessarily need to know about that.
Very true. There's a lot of things I don't tell my family about.
Yeah.
I mean, there's shameful things that my whole family doesn't know about me. Like, for example, this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't know about it. They never will. No, actually, they probably will someday when we become really famous.
We already are really famous.
Oh, that's right. Good point. Another problem I have with this theory that she ran off either by herself or with Davey Ogle is that she actually passed up a really good chance to make some money because her ex, Dexter, who apparently was a plastics manufacturer, had some money, wanted the daughter back. And so she knew she was going to blow town, and that means the daughter goes back to Dexter. Then why wouldn't she approach Dexter and say, hey, you know, give me a couple of grand, and I'll give custody back to you. And that's
well, there's a point there, but that also, again, that just circles me back to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, once she disappears, the court re-awards him custody of their daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes right back to his same old behavior of the grandmother is trying to visit the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps blocking it, not letting her see her. And I think that the grandmother tried to take some kind of legal action against him.
Yeah.
At which point he just said, oh, okay, great, and left the state.
Yeah, no, he was...
Like, I'm gone. Good luck.
Yeah, he was sentenced to 5 days suspended in jail.
Yeah.
For not abiding by... Because apparently it was the court ordered him to allow the grandmother to see the daughter.
Right.
And then he continued to be obstructive, and so he was sentenced to 15 days in jail, not suspended. And that's when he took the wife and the daughter and left the state, moved to Florida, where he lived until he was 87 years old. So they're just... no good theories about this, but another theory that I have that's not really one that you see all over the internet is that she perhaps had a sideline. I mean, let's remember she was broke.
Super broke.
Super broke. Perhaps, and I hate to say this, but perhaps she had a sideline as, say, an escort.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, and she was a dancer. She was a very attractive woman,
mm-hmm.
by, I would say, modern and classic standards. Yeah. So it wasn't as if, you know, she couldn't have done that.
Uh-huh. Well, it would also explain why she was sighted with multiple different men at the same location.
Yeah.
Late at night. It would also
trying
explain,
to find a John.
Yeah, and then it would also explain why you would lie, right?
You don't want to tell people, hey, I'm gonna go out and do a little prostituting. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, mom may just think that she goes and she does these night shoots, you know, 2 or 3 days a week, mm-hmm. and you know the studio's paying her pretty decently for being an extra in a night shoot. So what the heck?
I know.
And
yeah.
then, you know, conveniently, none of those movies ever actually get made.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Or, they cut my scene.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sorry.
Exactly.
Which actually happens to
all the time.
Yeah, I was in an extra in a movie years ago, and I finally, years later, got around to watching the movie to see if I could find myself in it. Because when I went to the set, it was a big crowd scene, so I wore a bright orange T-shirt. Even so, I could never find myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, they cut my scene, damn it.
They were like... You know, we'd use this seat, except there was that idiot in the orange shirt.
Orange shirt.
Yeah, more on the orange shirt. Yeah. It was hilarious. This huge crowd scene, and it's like this this one guy, this
what
couple,
movie?
Roller Coaster with George Segal and Timothy Bottom.
Don't look at me.
I have never heard of this. That was never a blockbuster.
Yeah. But there's this one couple. They were kind of what's the word I'm saying? Kind of trashy looking. You know? They were extras. Yeah, they were among the extras.
Okay.
We were all extras, and so there's the guys with the bullhorns directing us around, telling us where to go. And at the beginning of the first scene, she climbs up on his shoulders, and she's like all going like this and waving her arms in the air on his shoulders and everything. And then we're done. They say, cut, you know, and then the guy with the bullhorn goes out and says, hey, that's really awesome. And really nice touch what you guys did. You're going to have to do that in every take. Every take today.
Good job, stupid.
Yeah, I know. That was a total diversion there. But as we know from our intensive research of Jack the Ripper, among other things, that if you engage back to the whole she might have been an escort or prostitute kind of thing, if you engage in that, well, you run a chance that you're going to meet Mr. Serial Killer.
Well, and not even Mr. Serial Killer. There's the crime of opportunity. Gentlemen who take upon those services aren't always in the clearest frame of mind, and I mean that from both they're intoxicated on something, whether it be booze or drugs, or they're not always 100% square in the head. I mean,
mm-hmm.
there's just these things happen,
mm-hmm.
and that's why that profession, and I'm using that term loosely, but that profession
uh-huh.
is notoriously dangerous.
Yep.
Yeah, it kind of is, yeah. So I think that it's entirely possible that this guy, say if she met up with a guy and the guy had wheels, to get to Griffith Park from there, if she was still hanging out on Sunset, where the cheese box was, to get to Griffith Park, it's a straight shot. You go east until you get to Western Avenue, and then you turn left, go north. It takes you straight there. And they're very easy. So he might have said, you know, let's go to someplace a little more romantic than Sunset Strip. Let's go up to Griffith Park. And then what's up there? Well, you know, once she realizes that things are kind of going south and that his intentions aren't so good after all, then she tries to get away from him. He grabs her purse. She rips it loose. He drops it, chases her down, and that's the end of the story. He doesn't bother going back for the purse.
The only thing is the note.
The note? Well, the note doesn't make any difference. This is a random dude.
The note still isn't explained.
Well, it doesn't have to be, though. I mean,
it could just be a random something that she was writing to her friend that worked at the food cart.
Yeah.
At the place.
All right.
Yeah.
The other thing is that I know that this is going to sound like I am just beating up on the Kirk Douglas theory again, but I really have a hard time letting go of that only because of all of the stories of his bad behavior. And we'll leave out the whole story about a rape that he supposedly did, but he was notorious for being a player and knocking women around.
Yeah.
He was known for being that guy. So, you know, and he went to houses of ill repute, supposedly, on a regular basis. So I could see him being one of those dudes who's like, hey, you're a cute extra. Why don't you come to my trailer? And then when suddenly there's, you know, a product of that union, he's like, well, I guess I could pay her off. You know what? No, I'm not going to pay her. I'm just going to take care of this, or I'm going to have somebody take care of it, which is then would give the guilty conscience why, what, 3 days later, he called the cops?
No, it's the 12th, so it would have been about four days later.
Yeah, suddenly he's just, you know, freaking out, like, oh my God, I didn't think this would be this, you know, in the news so big, I got to do something about it. I have a really hard time letting go of what I read about him, and their connection seems very slight, I admit, but it's really hard for me to let go just from the things that I've read about him.
Yeah, definitely, if you wanted to get ahead in Hollywood, if you were an aspiring actress in those days, the casting couch was pretty much a given for almost every actress in those days. And so it was, and probably it wasn't just the studio bigwigs that you had sex with. You probably, in order to get an in, have a connection, have sex with Kirk Douglas or some other famous actor.
He was the top dog on the pile.
Yeah, he was
the
superstar. Yeah, yeah,
he was the man.
Yeah,
so
yeah, no, he was the Chuck Norris of the day.
Oh my gosh!
Thank you.
Perfect.
Chuck Norris. Can we move away from that? I'm sorry I brought that up.
What's wrong with Chuck Norris?
Oh, my gosh.
Just keep going, please.
Yeah, okay. All right, now that we're done slandering Kirk Douglas, I guess we can wrap it up. Do you guys have any more thoughts?
No.
No. Yeah. My slandering Kirk Douglas evidently was the only thing I had to say.
Yeah, and I just think it's a huge old mystery.
It's a big old mystery.
It's unsolvable, Joe.
I think it's a big old mystery, too. It may well be, too, that you never know who. I mean, because she was in 8 movies, uncredited, of course.
But, I mean, she was in 8 whole movies.
Yeah,
you know,
I know. But what I mean
really
is that
she had a total of 4.5 minutes of film time.
If that much.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is she was attractive, and she probably attracted the attention of not just Kirk Douglas, but probably some other movie star types.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, she may have had some things going on with other Hollywood
ne'er-do-wells.
Actors, ne'er-do-wells. I mean,
yeah,
so.
Who knows?
Yeah, so maybe it wasn't Kirk Douglas. It could have been a studio head. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think now that we've we haven't quite solved this one. We'll make this a almost there, but not quite. Yeah.
I'm gonna give this 3.5 stars on the solved rating.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Three and a half stars on a scale of 15. That's about right.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, folks, that's it for this week. Of course, if you don't know where to find us, you can find us on iTunes. Please, of course, stop to give us a rating and maybe leave a little review, something like that. We really like those. you can find us on Facebook. And, of course, if you find us on Facebook, you have to like us. Yeah. Well, you don't have to, but it'd be nice. And we have a group on Facebook, too, don't
we?
Yes, we do. So, yeah, join the group. You can also find us on Stitcher, although if you found us on Stitcher, you're probably not hearing this because Stitcher has developed this tendency to truncate our episodes. That's something we're working on, but yeah.
Someday they will figure out what's going on.
Yeah, it's a little frustrating. I'm sure it's even more frustrating for the people who are streaming our episodes. You can also send us an email at our email address, which is thinkingsidewayspodcast@gmail.com.
Y'all have been great about that.
Yeah, we've been getting lots of emails lately.
So many suggestions.
Yeah, lots of great suggestions.
We try, we're kind of hitting this point, right, where we like try to have a good mix of like listener suggestions and things we've come up with. But at this point, you guys have like either recommended everything that I ever knew about.
Yeah.
Or like there are so many piling up and I feel bad about not doing them that just get ready because I think it's possible that like for the next year, all of my episodes are going to be listener suggestions.
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone.
Well, yeah, no, and I've got a few ideas for how we might handle some of that we'll let everybody know once we suss it all out.
Secrets.
I'm always scheming and planning.
Of course.
And I did not actually check the list of listener suggestions to see if somebody had suggested Gene Spangler. I know I found this one on my own, so...
No, but like, you know, just this week we got an email that I happened to be on and respond to. And, you know, this person said, oh, I'd love to hear you tackle this mystery. And I was like, wow, I was literally just thinking about doing that next week. Cool.
When I was researching Lori Erica Ruff.
Yeah.
Same
and
thing.
And I checked the email and it's like, yeah, oh, can't you do this one? And it's like, yeah,
yep,
well, I guess
actually,
you're in luck.
We'll get that right to you.
I guess so, yeah. Will you ask? We obey. And so also, if you want to find this episode somewhere and you don't want to go to iTunes or Stitcher, you can find it on our website.
Because you're not listening to it right now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay, so if you want to find future episodes, mm-hmm. let me put it that way, thinkingsidewayspodcast.com. Yeah, there, you'll find links also. And also, there's a survey. So if you want to take a moment to fill out the survey, that'd be really cool. It's not one of those long, tedious ones, right?
No, it's pretty
like,
short.
It's like, you know, like would you give your firstborn male child
like
to Thinking Sideways podcast?
Super simple.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, okay.
Easy.
All right.
I'll go take it right now.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I got to take it like 50 or 60 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I always do with
answer
those
differently
things.
Every
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
Okay, folks. Well, that's it until next week for Thinking Sideways, the podcast. This is Joe signing off.
We'll talk to you guys next week.
I apologize for my co-host.
Bye.